This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today: how will Kamala's avoidance strategy impact her campaign? A lot of people talking about it's like 37 days now. It's one count. It's a count up that I don't have.
It's right around there.
37 days is the last that I heard. It's 70 days until the election. We're getting pretty close here. And she has, for over a month, avoided sitting down and having a conversation with the media, with the press. How is that working out for her? We have asked you what you think about it. And a few responses from our listeners. Josh said, it's going to hurt. Hyde and Biden worked in 2020 because Joe had a likable image then. Harris does not. Hiding just allows the image that already exists to continue. That's a good point. Katie said, pessimistically, I think it will have no impact. I think most Dems will vote for whoever has a D beside their name. What do you think, Ryan? Help, hurt, no impact, or she's not hiding?
It's a really tough question, because I think hiding is going to hurt her. But I also think coming out and doing a lot of interviews is going to hurt her. So you almost have to split the difference and go, yeah, it's probably about the same. So I'm going to say no impact.
I'm going to say it's going to help her. To Ryan's point, she cannot come out and give a bunch of interviews, because you're going to get the word salad, word slaw, or whatever you want to call it, does. It's just chopped up, you know. You want to talk about the significance of the passage of time, and the passage of time
is
significant.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the significance of the passage of the last 37 days.
And my thing is this.
I should have made that the poll. What is the significance of the passage of time of the last 37 days for Kamala Harris?
Yeah, and one of the answers is...
boogers.
No, it would be unburdened by what has been.
My point being, they can't put her out in front of people, because if they did, then we would see her for who she is. And if she was good in front of people, guess what she would be doing? She would be out in front of people doing interviews. So the only thing this can do is help her. I just don't know that it's going to help her that much. And I really think the people are smarter than that. And they're going to look at her and go, nah, not for me. But this is their best path.
CNN talked about this on their show. And when they're talking about it, you know that it's at least a big enough deal for the folks at CNN. I mean, I think CNN is probably a little ticked because they haven't gotten the interview themselves yet. And they're probably worried they're not going to. You're gonna get a Gail. What's her face? Isn't that Gail?
Gail King?
Gail King.
I think
yes.
She's ABC.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna get somebody who is, as I heard someone refer to on Outnumber today, a super soft touch. And I thought, okay. When CNN is talking about it, I think that they're frustrated that they haven't yet landed this.
Called off one third of this campaign, and members of the news media have let her. She's not answering questions about, we know her position. She's against fracking. She's against private health insurance. She's against gasoline cars. That's what she told us when she ran for president last time. She doesn't want to talk about those positions. That's why she's stalling it.
And she should do an interview. I'm just politically saying, Brad, and you have to acknowledge that it hasn't been that bad to
this point. And she will do one. It is coming.
She'll show up at NPR or somewhere like that, but she's not going to take tough questions.
She's going to show up on a network, and she's going to have a sit-down conversation. She has already said, her campaign has already said that that's going to happen. If you're waiting for the date, everybody else is waiting for the date.
It's a month.
She's actually on the ground. She's doing bus tours across the state of Georgia.
How bad is it when you continue to hear them say, that guy's going, it's a month, and the other side's going, it's only been a month?
It's crazy.
70 days until the election. We are, what, a fourth of the way in the amount of time that she has been, a little over a fourth, probably about 30% of the way through the election process that she has been the candidate, and she hasn't been able to sit down and have a conversation. What else has she not done? She hasn't put any of her policies in written form on the website. And people, I've heard people say, you know, she's had some of these conversations. She needs to sit down and have this discussion with an interview. But the policies on the website, they'll get to that. The reason why they don't is because if they're in word form, you can't argue that. You can't interpret one thing to be mean one thing or another. And if there are multiple interpretations of what the policies in the word say, then you ask her that in an interview and then she clarifies it. I don't think that they are going to put any policies on their website before the debate. I think they are specifically waiting for the debate to happen so that Trump has to go in blind to Kamala Harris's policies, so that he can't have predetermined against Kamala Harris's the barbs that he wants to toss her way because she hasn't been clear on it, which is fine because she has been clear on her policies. And anything that she wants to do that is a detraction, you know, Donald Trump should go up there and say, if he's asked a question about the border security, he should say, well, I'm going to answer this question for myself and Kamala Harris because she copies all of my policies. Here's what we're going to do. And then he should say it again for the economy. If she has not come out with her own, he should say, my policies are so popular that she's copying them and she hasn't put anything on her website yet to say differently because she's waiting for me to be spoken on the issue so she knows what she wants to do, because apparently, while I might not be popular with all of you, my policies are popular enough with my opponent. And then just let her hang out there, because she's going to do everything she can to avoid pinpointing specifics at that debate. It's a total, hate the word, vibes campaign. She wants you to feel things. She wants you to feel the excitement about that shattered glass ceiling. And she wants you to feel the seething that you will have when you just simply see the face of Donald Trump. I've talked to people who are not Trump fans. I've talked to people, I had a conversation today with somebody who supports Kamala Harris, and I kind of like leaned into that conversation because I haven't had many of these conversations. And, you know, I don't begrudge these people. They have every right to support and not support whomever they want for whatever reason. That's what's great about this country. But the vast prevailing thing behind support for Kamala Harris is how Donald Trump makes them feel. And the Harris camp knows that. And so they're going to flame those fires as every opportunity that they get. They are going to make sure that the heat surrounding Donald Trump is always white hot so that they can remind people that, gosh, you know, Donald Trump's policies do kind of seem like they might be better for us. Kamala Harris is the vice president right now, and what we're dealing with in this country really is kind of on her. It's her policies as well, and she hasn't put any policies out. The DNC's put out a platform. It mentioned Joe Biden 19 times, so I guess they're not really pushing Joe Biden away too much. So would this be more of the same? I don't know, but I just hate Donald Trump. I can't do anything to support Donald Trump. A non-vote for Harris is a vote for Trump. I just got to do what I got to do. I just can't stand the thought of being in Donald Trump's America anymore. And so then they vote for Harris. That's the plan.
Yep, that is the plan.
The more specific they get on anything, the less that can be the plan.
You're listening to us on St. Louis' Home for Conservative Talk, and you're like, but that's just what the conservatives are saying. These are real conversations. You've had one today. I've had a few with Kamala supporters. Respectful conversations. Not arguments, just conversations where I would ask questions. I think you were doing the same. Why do you support her? Tell me what you like, you know, and not trying to pin them down, just asking the question. It's all in not just here, not just in media land, not over the airwaves, in real life, the conversations that I'm having with Kamala supporters, they are just citing, well, it makes me feel more positive. It's more about the good vibe that I get from her side. That's it. And I'm asking real questions. I'm not badgering when I ask these questions. I'm not trying to be mean. I just want to know, why do you believe what you believe? It is based on just that.
Christopher says, I think Annie is giving the left's tactics far too much credit. They are just hiding her like they did Biden. Why even bother messing it up? Vote against Trump is the platform. Don't need her. I agree with that, Christopher. I think you're spot on with that. I think that they don't need policy in order to persuade voters. And if they try, I think they have like a sure fail.
Yes, they do.
And the people managing this, you know, they did get away with it with Joe Biden. I don't think that they would be so blind to think that they can run the Biden playbook exactly the same with Harris. It's not COVID. It was 2020 when this happened last time. It was an entirely different understanding and existence, which is why Kamala Harris is everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
Yeah.
It is amazing that yesterday, the wreath laying ceremony that took place at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which I've now been to twice this year, and it is an incredible place to be, to experience, to learn about. The wreath-laying ceremonies, I guess, that they had there for the people who were lost in that disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. There are reports today that, I think it was August 9th, was the first request that was made of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to attend that. And they did not respond. And then they extended the invitation to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Tim Walz to attend that. And still nothing. They were nowhere to be found. Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States. And the smartest political thing she could have done was show everybody through her actions without having to actually speak any words that she is there to back up our troops. If she wants to somehow or another push herself away from the Joe Biden responsibility of one of the worst military debacles, individual days that we've ever had as a country in that just tragic situation that unfolded at Abbey Gate, she should have just stood there. You're required to be silent while you're there. Stand there for the lives that have been lost with those who remain that mourn them and show that you care. But it's too politically disadvantageous for her, so they didn't even respond. There was probably a time where that would have been the moment they lost the election. And it should have been. I hope that it still is. There's nothing about Kamala Harris that respects our troops, that looks at what happened in Afghanistan as some sort of tragedy. If I had to wear that on my conscience, that responsibility on my conscience, I'd never let it go. I would never be able to overcome the guilt that I felt for having that on her conscience. And while that was happening, she wanted to brag about being the last person in the room because she wanted the political collateral that went along with it. But she's not interested in the political fallout, so she doesn't show up. She should be ashamed of herself. I hope she is. I doubt it, though.
I don't think she stands for anything. I don't think her inner circle stands for anything. If they did, they would have very clearly outlined what their vision for America is. And they're just walking around picking fruit from every tree they see and seeing if they like it, polish it off a little bit, show it to the camera, see if it works. They don't believe in anything.
Neil Cavuto was talking to John Kirby on that lie that Joe Biden told in the debate about not losing any troops on
his
watch.
Even when you say that deaths didn't happen under his watch, it's such a major faux pas and an incorrect statement to feel compelled to say, yes, you wound down a war, and there's criticism of how that wound down, I understand, but never to clarify that. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Again, I'm not going to talk about my private conversations with the president. I would never do that under any circumstance. I would just tell you he was making a larger point about ending our longest war and not getting us into new ground wars like in Ukraine or like in Gaza.
So those 13 people are just useless details? I mean, that's what John Kirby is saying there. He's making a larger point. There's something that is bigger and broader than those lives of those 13 people who are lost because Joe Biden made a bonehead decision that cost the lives of innocent American people. You know, I noticed yesterday when they were showing, was it a C-130 on the airstrip or whatever?
With in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
It was a C-17.
Okay, well, so close. I got the letter right.
Got it right.
I'm trying so hard since I flew. I want to know these things. But I don't know why I didn't notice this before. Maybe it just struck me because I hadn't seen it for a while. But the way those people are swarming that plane as it's moving down the runway and it just says U.S. Air Force on it. Like, there's no pulling out of the responsibility. There's no way you can abdicate your involvement in that issue because that iconic photo and that iconic video of that plane moving down the runway with people falling to their death off of it because that was the option they felt like that was the only option they had. Has there ever been a more disgusting administration?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For this country. Maybe. Maybe it's arguable, but not in my lifetime. When you do everything, when every decision you make, when every time you've got to go left or right, you've got to go up or down, you have to make that decision, when every decision you make is only based in political benefit or damage, this is what you get. And Kamala Harris can't answer for any of it. And she, I think she knows it. I think she knows she's trapped. She said every which way you can on a lot of different policy positions out there, because she really just tries to satisfy the person in the room. And it, she really doesn't believe that she's going to be held accountable for it, at least not for 70 more days, when it matters. Have you ever been in an abusive relationship where someone treats you like that? I mean, it's classic narcissistic behavior, and it's super, super toxic. They're playing you, and I just think that the American people are kind of sick of it, especially the people who are sick of pretending to be okay or at best tolerant of things that they've shouted you down for standing up against or just simply disagreeing with. I think that that good old-fashioned, rebellious, independent American attitude might prevail in November. And it just takes more people showing up and saying, I don't like Kamala Harris. I'm going to vote for Trump. How could you vote for Trump? Pretty simple. Just check the box. That's all you that's all it takes. And you don't owe anybody an explanation, but you do benefit the outcome of the situation when you're willing to just say it. And I think more people are being willing to say it. And it's because Kamala Harris is absent from the conversation. She's not giving people anything to hang their hat on. And I understand that she's not doing it because she can't. It's not like she thinks, oh, I could go out there and I could, you know, I could take them as they come. Like, you look at Donald Trump, he's done town halls and CNN. He'll go anywhere. He'll talk to anybody. He'll have those conversations. He probably enjoys the combative ones more than the Sean Hannity's of the world. You don't see Kamala Harris doing that because she can't be on record. She can't. She's got to be everything to everybody, and she can't do that when she speaks on things. And she's cool with it. She's like, this is the plan. I don't think she's going to get away with it. Let us know what you think. YouTube live chat poll. I'll give you Betsy's response right now. How will Kamala's avoidance strategy impact her campaign? Betsy says no difference, even though it should hurt. What do you think? Vote, comment. Beside
the green grass, swing. I don't know the words though. Swing the
spinning step. You know, this is, you don't hear.
I'm actually the background vocals in this song. Fun fact. You go into a studio, you record it one time, you forget the words, though.
So what?
So kiss me.
Oh, Brad.
People think... people think that they just doubled up her voice, but they didn't. They brought me in to do the background.
Is that Rockmouth?
No, no, no. That's not Rockmouth. That was just...
I'm sorry. It's deferred.
No. That was back way before Rockmouth. We did that. Gosh. That record was probably 96, or we would have recorded 95.
Can you keep this going while I go
record a spot? Yeah. I can. I remember walking in the studio and people are like, oh, man, it's been really magical recording that song because I love it. No, it's not. When it's your job, you just go in, you just do the work, and you go home. And yeah, you want to have chemistry with the artist, but you don't have to.
You were full of sugar. Literally.
AFS behind the music.
Can I tell you a real story?
It would be wonderful.
There's a bunch of Christian bands. There was one called 10th Avenue North. You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
So I was interviewing the lead singer once, and he had recorded some, I don't know if it was a Christmas song or collaboration song with a bunch of other artists, and one of them was Casting Crowns. That's the only one I remember. There was a bunch of other ones, too. And I was like, I was doing a solo interview, too, because you do a lot of them like with the other hosts, but that one was just me. And
it sounds like a real story that's mostly just you bragging about yourself.
It's not. Okay. It really isn't because it ends very poorly.
Oh, no. Well, but let's get to that part.
I asked him at one point in the interview, and it was going fine.
10th Avenue North?
10th Avenue North, the lead singer. I don't remember his name. And I asked him, what was it like, you know, recording with all those artists? That'd be fun. And he goes, well, here's the deal. You go into a studio. There's nobody else there except an engineer. Their voices are just in your ear, and you record your part, and then you go home. And I was like, wow, That sounds like it would have been magical.
Mike Donaghy?
Mike Donaghy. That's him. Yeah. That's him. He's a solo artist now, I think. Yeah. But that was, I remember that thinking, man, what a stupid question. I sound like an idiot when I asked that question. And I left it in. You know, it was like recorded, so I could have cut it out, but I didn't.
We get to 10,000 subscribers. You and I should perform a song on video. It will not be good, but it will be better than bad. Well, kind of. But where Ryan does the falsetto.
Okay.
We need suggestions of songs. Someone said The Lion Sleeps Tonight, but that's almost all falsetto.
Well, I think that's probably a pretty good suggestion because it's all falsetto. Oh, you're wanting a song that's not in falsetto.
If we get to 10,000, I don't know what the time frame is I'm going to put on this, but if we got to 10,000, I would sing. And I'm not like, I'm not a pro at singing, so easy on that. But I want you to sing falsetto backup.
How about if we, here's what we'll do. To save everybody time, You just do your normal church. I'll show up at church and just do it there live and we'll record.
Not
it.
In my church.
Yeah, we'll do How Great Thou Art.
It's my favorite song.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's great.
You will not ruin it.
No?
No.
I can actually sing How Great Thou Art normal, but I'm not going to do it now.
I'm not interested in that. You're missing the point here.
Mm.
This is not come see how good we are. This is, and I don't want to make a mockery of the best hymn that there is.
Wouldn't that be terrible?
I want to make a mockery of something.
Like, hey, listen to this crazy, kooky song we did.
Oh,
it's How Great
Lord
Thou
my
Art.
God.
Ooh, ooh.
You guys leaf blower users? You believe in the leaf blower?
I do believe in the leaf blower.
Like, what a transition out of How Great Thou Art.
Isn't that what that song's
Thank
about?
Thank you for asking. So, now I'm going to ask you a question.
No.
What do you think of pumpkin pie?
A vessel for Cool Whip. Have you heard of, I feel like maybe I don't live in the right neighborhood to have these problems, but like leaf blower etiquette?
Oh gosh.
Just let people blow their leaves and leave them alone. Let them blow in private.
Leave them alone.
And leave them alone.
And leaf blowers can be incredibly disruptive. This is all you need to know about leaf blower etiquette. This is from homesandgardens.com. What time on a weekend, no commitments to anything, you get to get up on your own time. What time do you wake up? What time do you get up?
Probably still waking up about 7:30. Not getting up till after 8.
9.
Do you ever hear someone fire up the lawnmower next to you at like 6:45, 7 a.m. when you could be sleeping in?
That's too early.
Would it bother you?
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Would you do something about it?
Well, it depends, because a lot of the people in my little cul-de-sac, they hire a service. And so if
it's
that's
one of those neighborhoods,
if it's been,
you rich people understand.
Yeah, we don't. The rest of them do.
Yeah.
If that service has had a long week of on a rain or something, they might start pretty early. Every now and then I'll give them a break.
But does it bother you?
A little bit.
You?
No. I'll sleep right through it.
If it woke you up, would it bother you?
Nah, probably not.
Sometimes it bothers me, but then again, I wake up somewhere between 6 and 7 most days, and I'm like, enjoy the fact that I get to go back to sleep, because I can currently go back to sleep. I've heard a lot of people talking about leaf blowers, and I don't know. I am not a part of the leaf blower crusaders. I'd be curious to know if people on our chat, or if you are, come to the Annie Fry YouTube chat and weigh in on this. Have you ever heard about people in like leaf blower etiquette? Is that even a thing on your radar?
Aside from when you do it, I can't figure out what else, like where you blow your leaves, maybe?
Homesandgardens.com has a when can you use your leaf blower section.
So it's when, okay.
Growing up, the rule we always followed was no outdoor noise before 10 a.m.
Oh, that no.
That's lame.
And I've stuck to it through the years of testing our tools and equipment. A couple of years ago, I went back to my parents' home to test some leaf blowers by cleaning their patio and driveway. And my mom still insisted on the rule, even though I had a deadline fast approaching. Any yard work noise before 10 a.m. is pretty antisocial, especially on the weekend when neighbors are trying to sleep in. And then they go on to say, for many communities, 8 or 9 a.m. is the earliest for a weekday and 9 or 10 on the weekend. Is that right?
I don't think that's way off, but I think you can go a little bit earlier than that. On a weekend, 10 o'clock, You can start late. At 9 o'clock is fine. If somebody starts at 8, I'm like, but you're probably okay.
Etiquette expert Nick Layton says, the general etiquette idea is that we need to acknowledge that leaf blowers can be loud and that your neighbors might be disturbed by the noise. So we want to use them at times when it'll minimize this disturbance as much as possible. This is why I'm a country girl.
How long do you have to use a leaf blower, though?
Nick says the cutoff point for using a leaf blower is how late can you use a leaf blower?
Dusk.
Yeah, it's probably about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, once it gets dark, you can't golf, you can't leaf blow, you can't do anything. So
6 p.m.
No,
what?
People aren't even home.
Any later, and you'll be cutting into your neighbor's dinner time.
Oh, come on. Get over yourself. Who is this?
Nick, is that crazy?
That's insane. It makes me want to tie him up.
Your leaf blower is basically a union job that works for 40 hours a week with breaks. Yeah.
It's not. It's also, if you're cutting your grass, depending on how big your yard is, you could be cutting your grass for well over an hour, depending on your yard. Mm-hmm. A leaf blower, how often are you using that? You need to really think about this.
When I cut my grass, it takes me about 5 minutes to blow all the excess grass off of like the deck
exactly.
and the driveway. 5 minutes tops.
Exactly. And if you're using it for actual leaves, it can take longer, but that's not multiple times a year.
Probably the thing that people are most often complaining about as a leaf blower is the string trimmer, the weed eater. Because you use that way longer, and it's the same kind of engine, and it makes
it's
the same
loud.
Kind of noise. It's the same noise as a leaf blower.
A weed whacker?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
No.
I'll fire them up. I'll do this tonight when I get home. I'll fire them both up.
I need a decibel
I'll post
reading.
A video.
Depending on your state, city, or county, etiquette may not be your biggest problem. In many places, there are laws against outdoor noise. For example, the residential areas of Fort Worth, it's illegal to make noise louder than 70 decibels, which many leaf blowers exceed.
Okay.
Depending on your location, you could face a fine for running a noisy leaf blower too long or too early. In residential areas of Washington, D.C., gas leaf blowers are illegal. You could be fined $500 just for using a gas leaf blower because they're so loud.
If the government came to me and gave me a fine for using my leaf blower, I think that I might lose it a little bit on whoever that is.
If the government gives me a fine, I'm putting my powdered wig on, I'm getting my musket, and we're going 1776 all over again.
And I'm finding the neighbor that reported it, too.
We're
having a conversation.
Yeah, we're going to find that loyalist.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to the person with the Kamala sign in their yard first.
It's like, it was you, wasn't it?
Well, Scooter does say he hardly uses a leaf blower. He just sweeps.
Neat.
I bet he has a... Scooter, do you have a Harris sign in your yard? There's a video going around right now.
Does it say, no violence, no hate? I think that's the phrase.
And then on the bottom, it's got like spray painted, except leaf blowers. I hate those. Man, I think we found out how to trigger all these people.
You're triggering me with
the idea that I
used to get mad that I would have to get a permit for my garage sale. I still do a little bit. I'm like, get out of my backyard, NIMBY. Get you out of here. You get out.
Oh, man. The YouTube live chat poll for today. How will Kamala's avoidance strategy impact her campaign, help hurt, no impact, or she's not avoiding anything? Let's take a quick break. I got another fun story for you guys when we come back, so you're going to want to stick around for that. Come vote. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think about what Kamala Harris is doing. Jackie said that she thinks the avoidance strategy will hurt her. Lamestream media has been pushing back a bit, and that is true. Interesting to see who has been saying, yeah, you should probably sit down for an interview. What do you think? Go vote. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. You know, when we talk about politics all the time and we talk about policies and issues that are facing people, and the end point of all of that is that we hope that our guy gets elected or our girl gets elected. But that's kind of the avenue that we generally take. The natural conclusion is we advocate for this, and you can tell that we were right because that person won. We know this, intellectually we understand this, but these policies that we advocate for, that we talk about, or that we highlight as issues, they're really meaningful policies on a large scale that everybody deals with all the time, but not everybody talks about it all of the time. And it is interesting to me when you come into contact with somebody who does talk about it in a practical, real-world sense. And Bill Belichick was on the Pat McAfee podcast here, and he was talking about signing people in for the Patriots, like the deals you got to make in order to get the best premier players to come to play for the Patriots. And I found this to be pretty interesting.
What's that millionaire's tax about?
Yeah, what's that about?
That's strictly New England or what?
What's oh, yeah, it's Taxachusetts. Yeah.
They take
more on you. So virtually every player, even a practice squad, even the minimum players are pretty close to $1 million. And so once you hit that $1 million threshold, then you pay more state tax in Massachusetts. So, just another thing you got to contend with in negotiations up there. It's not like Tennessee or, you know, Florida or Nevada or some of these teams that have no state income tax. So you
listen to Bill Belichick, who has won Super Bowls after Super Bowls, talking about trying to get the best players to come there. And there are people who did not play for the Patriots because you could go to listen to the states that he listed. Those are the states that are growing. That's where people are fleeing from Illinois and from California and from New England, everywhere up in the Northeast. It's interesting because there are so many people who are listening to that podcast who are hearing that and they're like, "Yeah, that's right. That's so stupid." No, but they don't understand. They don't tie the knot strong to the politics that are involved in that.
Right. This is the outcome of the politics and of the policy.
That is exactly what we're talking about all of the time.
Yeah.
Just in a different framework. And it means something really important to people, so much so that they're talking about, like, well, yeah, you're the Patriots might be a lesser football team because of the tax base, the tax framework in the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, I remember having this conversation about... and it was, again, it was not a political conversation, although it was, when Albert Pujols went to California.
Yes.
That was a big talking point about, well, what kind of salary do you get, but was it going to be offset by the massive amount of taxes you'd have to pay there versus being in Missouri? And so these aren't new philosophies. These are the same big tax and spend philosophies that have been around for a long time from Democrats.
I wish people would connect that more. I wish that in that situation, Pat McAfee would be like, "Make America great again." All right, and then we just move on. But it's real. It's true. And honestly, like, they're talking about a millionaire's tax there, so that might not be everybody. But it is a cyclically punishing thing to live in states where they treat their citizens like that. And then when you go to Tennessee, Florida, Nevada, where he's talking about these places where people do go play. I mean, think about if you're, what would it be, the Raiders go from California to Vegas?
To Vegas, yeah.
What a difference.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How much of a pay raise did those individuals get? Have people done an article on that? If they haven't, why not?
That's a good one to write. You should write it.
I'm tired. I got too much to do.
No, it's a good question, though, because there's a big difference between those states. And when you consider where you're going, it's just the same thing that they say this all the time. Elizabeth Warren is saying it right now. She's out, I think, this morning and yesterday evening making these points that millionaires really are kind of the bad guys. These rich people are the bad guys. Well, you know what? The guy who you went to high school with, who somehow made it big and made it to Major League Baseball, that guy isn't a bad guy. That guy rose from whatever you just came from to this level where you're probably never going to get, and you want to punish that guy? Well, I mean, that's what a lot of millionaires are.
Not even just baseball players, but the vast majority of millionaires are people who have made it on their own. It's not generational wealth. It's people that have started a business and invested their time and their money and their effort, and they've had success. And then what you want to go out there is like, these people are evil and they're taking more than what their fair share. Until it's them, and then Bernie Sanders starts talking about the billionaires and stops talking about the millionaires since he crossed that line, right, and he has his three houses or whatever. It bothers me, too.
It's just so disgusting. Oprah, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, all these people gracing the stage of the DNC, and exactly what you're saying about Bernie Sanders. They literally have houses.
Oh yeah, yeah, and not just not like rental properties.
No.
They have places where they go to winter.
$8.1 million homes in D.C. and you're talking multi-million-dollar homes in Hawaii.
Yeah, but so does Donald Trump. Donald Trump's no difference. Yeah, and he brags about them. He doesn't hide them from people and then tell everybody else that they can't have things that are, you know, luxurious like they have. They try to play it one side, say one thing, and they live a different lifestyle. Donald Trump uses like gold toilets. He's not hiding the fact that he's wealthy. And in fact, he gets himself into politics to make sure that the structure isn't set up the way Kamala Harris has invested her time and energy into ensuring the status stays the same, where if you're in the system, if you're in the bureaucracy, if you're in the big government, you get the spoils that you keep the plebs from being able to access. Gold toilets for everybody. That's Kamala Harris's next policy.
No. If you're a certain type of billionaire, you have no toilets.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You take them out of your house entirely.
Mm-hmm. You have them. They're in an undisclosed location.
Yeah, why are we pooping in toilets? We could just be pooping in that hole over there where your toilet used to be.
Yeah, when she's in Chicago, that's what they do.
Nobody lives there.
We're talking about J.B. Pritzker, if it's not absolutely clear.
Yeah, if you haven't figured that out. J.B. Pritzker took all the toilets out of his house.
In sports.
Because he hates Donald Trump.
Since we're talking Bill Belichick and Pat McAfee in sports. Have you heard about Australia's soccer team?
No.
I don't know anything about soccer.
Okay.
How many people are on the field at one time for one team?
Oh, my gosh. Is it 11? I don't even know. Yeah. Well, I don't watch professional. I'm watching kids soccer.
Is
we're at 9v9 right
now.
It's 11.
It
I think it's 11, and that includes the goalkeeper.
I'm learning something. It's different. 11. Okay. Australia's most controversial soccer team has won its grand final after going through the season undefeated. So
I'm not clapping for that team.
Great.
Sydney-based Flying Bats FC made headlines around the globe earlier this year after it was revealed that five of the team's women's side were made up of transgender players.
Ooh,
the team's presence in the women's competition led to complaints from club officials and parents, while high-profile figures like J.K. Rowling have also criticized their participation, and now it can be revealed that the team have capped off an undefeated season in the women's Premier League competition, which they have won all 16 of their regular season matches while scoring 65 goals and conceding just 4.
Wow.
In the process by winning the grand final on Sunday. Zelik posted the scoreboard at the ground with the final 5-4 scoreline over West Pennant Hills Cherry Brook Football Club, stating her disappointment at the result. Full-time Flying Bats FC win the premiership and the grand final. Trans-identified players will be crowned champions in the Women's Premier League division, she posted with the hashtag Save Women's Sports. That's all from the Daily Mail.
We're living the movie Lady Ballers.
I know!
That's a comedy, though.
It's not. It's a tragedy right now.
Do these dudes have beards and stuff? Are they trying to look like women? Or are they just doing it? Like, who cares?
I don't have much time to get into this, but it's very important that I say right now, you said, are they trying to look like women or do they just have beards? This is you guys might be inclined to laugh. Don't laugh. There are women who have conditions that cause them to have facial hair that they have to maintain. We now live in a society where if you have a woman who doesn't have what the realistic standard beauty expectations are, that people have to look at someone who maybe is less attractive than whatever the standards are out there for beauty. You literally will ask yourself, is it a man or a woman? You can't even be a less attractive woman anymore without having to be considered that maybe you're a man. What is more offensive than that? We're upside down. Let's flip it back over. Let's say how ridiculous this is. 5 men on the women's championship team in Australia soccer.
We have to celebrate that.
No. No, we do not.
They're living their truth.
YouTube live chat poll. How will Kamala's avoidance strategy impact her campaign? You said?
No impact.
Brad?
I said it would help.
I think it's going to hurt her in the long run. 13% said no impact. 15% of you said that she's not avoiding anything. 33% said help. 39% said hurt. So you guys are pretty divided on this one.
What was the percent that said she's not avoiding anything?
15.
15%. Those people also probably were in the camp that said that Biden's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with him.
What a consistent group we have here. Thank you to everybody who listened today. AnnieFryShow.com for everything you missed today. But keep it right here on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, because Mark Reardon is next. You know, when we talk about politics all the time and we talk about policies and issues that are facing people, and the end point of all of that is that we hope that our guy gets elected or our girl gets elected. But that's kind of the avenue that we generally take. The natural conclusion is we advocate for this, and you can tell that we were right because that person won. We know this, intellectually we understand this, but these policies that we advocate for, that we talk about, or that we highlight as issues, they're really meaningful policies on a large scale that everybody deals with all the time, but not everybody talks about it all of the time. And it is interesting to me when you come into contact with somebody who does talk about it in a practical, real-world sense. And Bill Belichick was on the Pat McAfee podcast here, and he was talking about signing people in for the Patriots, like the deals you got to make in order to get the best premier players to come to play for the Patriots. And I found this to be pretty
what's
interesting.
What's that millionaire's tax about?
Yeah, they have
New England. That's strictly New
bullshit.
England or what?
What's
oh, yeah, it's Taxachusetts. Yeah.
That's what they
take more from you. So virtually every player, even a practice squad, well, not, but even the minimum players are pretty close to $1 million. And so once you hit that $1 million threshold, then you pay more state tax in Massachusetts. So, yeah, just another thing you got to contend with in negotiations up there. It's not like Tennessee or, you know, Florida or Nevada or some of these teams that have no state income tax. So
listen to Bill Belichick, who has won Super Bowls after Super Bowls, talking about trying to get the best players to come there. And there are people who did not play for the Patriots because you could go to listen to the states that he listed. Those are the states that are growing. That's where people are fleeing from Illinois and from California and from New England, everywhere up in the Northeast. It's interesting because there are so many people who are listening to that podcast who are hearing that and they're like, "Yeah, that's right. That's so stupid." No, but they don't understand. They don't tie the knot strong to the politics that are involved in that.
Right. This is the outcome of the politics and of the policy.
That is exactly what we're talking about all of the time.
Yeah.
Just in a different framework. And it means something really important to people, so much so that they're talking about, like, well, yeah, you're the Patriots might be a lesser football team because of the tax base, the tax framework in the state of Massachusetts.
Of Massachusetts. Yeah, I remember having this conversation about... and it was, again, it was not a political conversation, although it was, when Albert Pujols went to California.
Yes.
It was a big talking point about, well, what kind of salary do you get, but was it going to be offset by the massive amount of taxes you'd have to pay there versus being in Missouri? And so these aren't new philosophies. These are the same big tax and spend philosophies that have been around for a long time from Democrats.
I wish people would connect that more. I wish that in that situation, Pat McAfee would be like, "Make America great again." Am I right? And then they just move on. But it's real. It's true. And honestly, like, they're talking about a millionaire's tax there, so that might not be everybody. But it is a cyclically punishing thing to live in states where they treat their citizens like that. And then when you go to Tennessee, Florida, Nevada, where he's talking about these places where people do go play. I mean, think about if you're, what would it be? The Raiders go from California to Vegas.
To Vegas, yeah.
What a difference.
Oh,
how
yeah.
much of a pay raise did those individuals get? Have people done an article on that? If they haven't, why not?
That's a good one to write. You should write it.
I'm tired. I got too much to do.
No, it's a good question, though, because there's a big difference between those states. And when you consider where you're going, it's just the same thing that they say this all the time. Elizabeth Warren is saying it right now. She's out, I think, this morning and yesterday evening making these points that millionaires really are kind of the bad guys. These rich people are the bad guys. Well, you know what? The guy who you went to high school with, who somehow made it big and made it to Major League Baseball, that guy isn't a bad guy. That guy rose from whatever you just came from to this level where you're probably never going to get, and you want to punish that guy? Well, I mean, that's what a lot of millionaires are.
Not even just baseball players, but the vast majority of millionaires are people who have made it on their own. It's not generational wealth. It's people that have started a business and invested their time and their money and their effort, and they've had success. And then what you want to go out there is like, these people are evil and they're taking more than what their fair share. Until it's them, and then Bernie Sanders starts talking about the billionaires and stops talking about the millionaires since he crossed that line right. And he has his three houses or whatever. It bothers me, too.
It's just so disgusting. Oprah, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, all these people gracing the stage of the DNC and exactly what you're saying about Bernie Sanders. They literally have houses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And not like rental properties.
No.
They have places where they go to winter.
$8.1 million homes in D.C., and you're talking multi-million dollar homes in Hawaii.
Yeah, but so does Donald Trump. Donald Trump's no difference. Yeah, and he brags about them. He doesn't hide them from people and then tell everybody else that they can't have things that are, you know, luxurious like they have. They try to play it one side, say one thing, and they live a different lifestyle. Donald Trump uses like gold toilets. He's not hiding the fact that he's wealthy. And in fact, he gets himself into politics to make sure that the structure isn't set up the way Kamala Harris has invested her time and energy into ensuring the status stays the same, where if you're in the system, if you're in the bureaucracy, if you're in the big government, you get the spoils that you keep the plebs from being able to access. Gold toilets for everybody. That's Kamala Harris's next policy.
No. If you're a certain type of billionaire, you have no toilets.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You take them out of your house entirely.
Mm-hmm. You have them. They're in an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Why are we pooping in toilets? We could just be pooping in that hole over there that your toilet used to be.
Yeah, when she's in Chicago, that's what they do.
Nobody lives there.
We're talking about J.B. Pritzker, if it's not absolutely clear.
Yeah, if you haven't figured that out. J.B. Pritzker took all the toilets out of his house.
In sports.
Because he hates Donald Trump.
Since we're talking Bill Belichick and Pat McAfee in sports, have you heard about Australia's soccer team?
No.
I don't know anything about soccer.
Okay.
How many people are on the field at one time for one team?
Oh, my gosh. Is it 11? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't watch professional. I'm watching kids soccer. We're at 9v9 right now.
Is it different?
I think it's 11, and that includes the goalkeeper.
I'm learning something. It's different. 11. Okay. Australia's most controversial soccer team has won its grand final after going through the season undefeated. So
I'm not clapping for that team.
Great.
Sydney-based Flying Bats FC made headlines around the globe earlier this year after it was revealed that five of the team's women's side were made up of transgender players. Five.
Ooh,
the team's presence in the women's competition led to complaints from club officials and parents, while high-profile figures like J.K. Rowling have also criticized their participation, and now it can be revealed that the team have capped off an undefeated season in the women's Premier League competition, which they have won all 16 of their regular season matches while scoring 65 goals and conceding just 4.
Wow.
In the process by winning the grand final on Sunday. Zelic posted the scoreboard at the ground with the final 5-4 scoreline over West Pennant Hills Cherry Brook Football Club, stating her disappointment at the result. Full-time Flying Bats FC win the premiership and the grand final. Trans-identified players will be crowned champions in the Women's Premier League division, she posted with the hashtag Save Women's Sports. That's all from the Daily Mail.
We're living the movie Lady Ballers.
I know!
That's a comedy, though.
It's not. It's a tragedy right now.
Do these dudes have beards and stuff? Are they trying to look like women? Or are they just doing it?
I don't have much time to get into this, but it's very important that I say right now, you said, are they trying to look like women or do they just have beards? This is you guys might be inclined to laugh. Don't laugh. There are women who have conditions that cause them to have facial hair that they have to maintain. We now live in a society where if you have a woman who doesn't have what the realistic standard beauty expectations are, that people have to look at someone who maybe is less attractive than whatever the standards are out there for beauty. You literally will ask yourself, is it a man or a woman? You can't even be a less attractive woman anymore without having to be considered that maybe you're a man. What is more offensive than that? It's we are upside down. Let's flip it back over. Let's say how ridiculous this is. Five men
on the women's championship team in Australia soccer. Give
and
me a
break.
We
have to celebrate that.
No, no. No, we do not.
They're living their truth.
You, YouTube live chat poll, how will Kamala's avoidance strategy impact her campaign? You said?
No impact.
Brad?
I said it would help.
I think it's going to hurt her in the long run. 13% said no impact. 15% of you said that she's not avoiding anything. 33% said help. 39% said hurt. So you guys are pretty divided on this one.
What was the percent that said she's not avoiding anything?
15.
15%. Those people also probably were in the camp that said that Biden's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with him.
What a consistent group we have here. Thank you to everybody who listened today. AnnieFryShow.com for everything you missed today, but keep it right here on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, because Mark Reardon is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.